want to remind you that we're having our chicken barbecue this Saturday at 11 o'clock. And it's not just a piece of chicken, but it's a chicken dinner. And $7, we have tickets available. If you want to buy a ticket, you can. Or if you want to take some tickets with you, Les and Julie has them, because Les is running the sound tonight. So you can see Julie, and she'll help you. It's going to be a great day. And, you know, we're doing this for two reasons. Number one, it's a good way for people just to come and know where we are. Amen? And another reason is it'll bless the church. Amen? So those are two good reasons. And if you'd like to get involved, I mean, there's all kinds of things that can be done. If you want to give your service, you can see Les and Julie, and they can direct you and lead you. And praise God. You know, I mean, there were times when Jesus fed people. So, nothing wrong with food. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the words that came to me this afternoon was the word legacy, and how God's word is a living legacy. And more importantly, you know, we can benefit from what the people who went on before us, what they experienced in God. There's things that we can learn from Abraham, Moses, Noah, David, Ruth. And so what we're going to be doing is we're going to visit some of these stories, and we're going to glean some other things about how God worked through them and how God worked in their situation, so that we're going to develop a living legacy. Amen? Don't you want to be known for someone who obeyed God? Someone who believed God? Here lies Doug Pishka. He was a man who believed God. Amen? And that's the kind of legacy I'm talking about leaving. You know, the Bible said it's a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And what a better inheritance than a heritage of faith. Amen? So we're going to continue on writing our living legacy. And we're going to apply the things that we've learned from these people. And it's going to be good. I'm very excited about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." Aren't you glad that God doesn't want us ignorant? Amen? "How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things," notice verse 6, "these things were our" what? "Examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for" what? for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. There has no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge what I say. So there are some examples that he is referring to that we can learn from. It is for our admonition, for our instruction. And isn't it a lot easier to learn from other people's mistakes than to learn from our own mistakes? It's a lot less painful too, right? You know? So we can either learn from others, or if you must, you can learn the hard way. You know, there is an easy way to learn, and then there's a hard way to learn. And some people just have to learn the hard way, right? So we're going to look at some of these things. And the word legacy, I had to look it up, and it got me excited because I found out it's a synonym for inheritance. Of course, you know, that always excites me. And it means something that is handed down or remains from previous generation or time. It's a gift, especially money or other personal property. It's something transmitted or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. It's about learning from the past, living in the present, and building for the future. Amen? Can't we have principles in God's word that we can apply today? You know, because God's word is timeless. Forever God's word is settled in heaven. He doesn't need to change it. He doesn't need to revise it. He doesn't need to add to it. When God's word is good, and it's all true. Right? There's not a lie in this book. God is not a man that he should lie. Amen? So, first of all, before we get going and looking at our examples, we've got to deal with our ignorance. Amen? God's word clearly said that he doesn't want us to be ignorant, right? He wants us to understand what's the inner meaning of these stories. I mean, yes, the stories in the Bible are true, but what can we learn from them? Can we still apply them today? Amen? Listen, did Abraham live by faith? Does God expect us to live by faith? Was Abraham successful in living by faith? Amen? So he is a good example to follow. We want to follow the good examples and apply it to our lives. Now, the word ignorance, it means to simply not know. It's not knowing through lack of information. It means to ignore through disinclination. It means God gives you the answers, but we choose to ignore them, or to not do them, or to not obey them. You know, if God says, don't eat of this tree, you're going to die. Hello, right? We should listen to what he says, right? What? No, what do? We ignore what he says, and we go ahead and do it, and we wonder, well, how come I died? God, why did you leave me to die? No, I told you not to. That's ignorance. It means to not understand, or it can be something that's unknown. Now, many of you have heard this verse of Scripture. Go with me to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Hallelujah. When you get there, say amen. Find Joel and make a left. Look Look at verse 6, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people, who's he talking about here? God's people are destroyed for what? For lack of knowledge. Say, ignorance can kill me. It can. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. Have you ever known anybody to reject knowledge? We all did at one time. Every one of us have done something wrong, knowing it was wrong, at least once in our life. Because we had this sin nature. Amen? But thank God in Christ we don't have the sin nature anymore. Okay? You have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you. Well, that's pretty strong. When we reject knowledge, God said he's going to reject us. That you shall, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the law. Well, see, someone who forgets the law means they don't visit it often. You know, if you have a family relative and you haven't seen for 20 years, I'm sure that they might look a little bit different than how you remember them. How many relatives haven't you seen for a long time? They say, oh, I remember you when you were this tall. But I'm not that tall anymore. But that's how they remember you. See, and he's talking about people who forgot the law of your God. I will also forget your children. Pretty strong. Say, God doesn't want me to be ignorant. See, I reject ignorance. Say, I love knowledge. I gain understanding. I'm a learner. Say, teach me, God. Amen. And verse 7 says, and as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Well, someone who sins against God is rejecting the knowledge of God, aren't they? Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Not a good thing. Amen? And go with me to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2. Well, we're going to put a death blow to ignorance tonight. Amen? And you're going to leave here tonight being free from ignorance. Praise God. Because when you avoid ignorance, you can avoid destruction. Amen? Judges chapter 2, and we'll begin with verse 10. It says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. Can you imagine all the work that Joshua did, bringing them into the promised land, dividing the land, giving them their inheritance, and Joshua dies after 110 years, and another generation arises that don't know God. May we never let the next generation be ignorant. Who's responsible for telling the next generation? We are. How many know that when David prepared to build the temple, although he couldn't build the temple, what was he doing? He was preparing it for the next generation. All the next generation had to do was build with all the materials that David had already provided. He was concerned about the next generation. Amen? I'm concerned about the next generation. Amen? But that's amazing. They didn't know their God. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Well, when you don't know God, you're left to your own devices. When you're not pursuing a knowing God, you're going to encounter other things. And they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers. See, ignorance leads you down a terrible downhill spiral. You don't want ignorance to pick up momentum. Nip it in the bud right now. They forsook God, the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were around them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And it all started with not knowing God. It started with lacking knowledge, lacking understanding, being ignorant of why God did what he did. Why did God bring Israel out of Egypt? Because he wanted a people that could worship him in spirit and in truth. He wanted a people that were free to worship. Amen. It is God's will that people be free to worship him in this world. And there are places where people can't openly worship God. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Look at your neighbor and say, these are bad examples. Said, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. Huh. They were serving in the ministry, and they didn't know the Lord. They were serving in the temple, and they didn't know the Lord. I'm sure that we probably have churches in our area like that today. Now go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, and I want to point out a difference here. Look at verse 7, 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Now, what's the difference between Samuel and Eli's sons? They both didn't know the Lord, right? But Samuel had a heart to know the Lord. He was a person. He was ignorant because of his age. He was ignorant because he hadn't been trained. He was ignorant because the word hadn't been so widespread at that time. But Samuel had a heart to learn. And God was trying to get his attention. And it took Eli the priest three times to figure out that God was even talking to Samuel. Because the Bible described Eli's eyes as being dim. But he said the lamp of the Lord had not gone out yet in the temple. There was still a flicker of possibility. There was still an opportunity for God to speak. I mean, God can use a flicker. Amen? God's got a little bic on the inside of us. Remember, flick your bic? Used to be a popular slogan for the little lighter. We got a bic on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is the candle of our spirits. Amen? But Samuel wanted to know God. God was trying to get his attention. And we know that Samuel eventually found out that it was God calling him. And he said, here am I. You know, and God used him mightily. And Samuel grew in the knowledge of God. And the Bible said that when he spoke, not one word of his fell to the ground. He operated in authority and power. He started a school called the School of the Prophets. Go to Psalm 95. What are we doing? We're dealing with your ignorance and my ignorance. Because God doesn't want us to be ignorant, right? So what's the opposite of ignorance? It's knowledge. If God's people perish for lack of knowledge, what happens when they get a lot of knowledge? They can avoid perishing. Psalm 95, and go down to verse 7. For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice. Now, you got to make up your mind that when God is speaking, when God's word is going forth, it could be someone saying something from the Bible, or it could be God speaking directly to you. You've got to prepare yourself for when God speaks. How many expect God to speak to them on a daily basis? Amen? I expect God to lead me and to bring me into all truth. I haven't gotten into all truth yet. But thank God that I'm on the path and I'm being brought in. Amen? Because I'm willing to learn. You know, part of growing in God is having a teachable spirit. So he says here, today, what day is he talking about? Today. He didn't say yesterday. He said today. God is always a right now God. God is always a right on time God. Today, if you will hear his voice. Why did he say if you'll hear his voice? Because not everybody is expecting to hear his voice. Not everybody is looking to hear his voice. And how many know that there are a lot of voices today that speak? What are you supposed to do when you hear his voice? Harden not your heart. So there's some preparation that you have to do to receive what God is saying. You have to have a tender heart, a soft heart. God needs a heart that he can write on. He wants to write his word on our heart. He wants to take out a heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Okay? Harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with that generation. Can you imagine God being grieved for 40 years? Say, God can be grieved. You know, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament not to grieve the Holy Ghost. How do you not grieve the Holy Ghost? You be a good listener and a quick doer. You have to be a good listener and a quick doer. You know, on our feet as Christians, we have on our feet the shoes of preparation of the gospel of peace. How many know that as believers, we're supposed to be prepared in season and out of season? We should walk with a prepared heart to do what God wants us to do when he wants us to do it. But if we're not ready to do what God wants us to do when he wants us to do it, that's going to hinder our hearing. Because you're when you're not ready, you're unwilling, right? If someone asks you to go to an event and you haven't taken a shower, you're reluctant to go because there's things that you still got to do, amen? But how many know that we can't be reluctant when God speaks? Amen? We've got to be quick to obey. And said, it is a people that do err in their hearts. Did the people in the wilderness hear God's word? It was in the wilderness where Moses wrote the books of the Bible, the five. It was where he received the Ten Commandments. And how many know that? We know that Moses taught the people. But it was a heart issue that prevented them from hearing. It was their heart that kept them in ignorance. It was their heart where they received destruction when they could have received life. And have not known my ways. How many know that God's got a way of doing things? His way is different than our ways, aren't they? The way that things work in God's kingdom are different than how they work in the world. You've got to be open to God's way of doing things. When God tells you to do something a certain way, there's a reason. There was a certain way that they had to transport the ark, wasn't it? And if they transported the ark any other way, there was trouble. When you don't do things God's way, there's trouble. Why? Because he sees what we don't see. He knows what we don't know. And there's a reason why he tells us. God is precise. You know, God is not flippant in his ways of doing things. God always has an answer. God always knows what he's doing. God always does things on purpose. They didn't know his ways. They were ignorant of his ways. Unto whom I swore in my wrath that they should never enter into my rest. Ignorant people are restless people. They're restless because they're not entering into God's rest. How many know God's rest? You could be in the midst of trouble at peace with God's rest. Why are you so calm? Because I have God's rest. Why don't you get agitated? Because I'm in God's rest. Why don't you gossip with me? Because I'm at God's rest. See, God's rest is like a shield. It's like when the Pope visits a place, he drives in Popeware. He's got that bubble car, you know. He can rest safe in his car. That's how we need to be in God's rest. But if you're ignorant, you will be restless. People who worry have not known God to take care of their cares. And so therefore, they're taking their cares on themselves as if we could solve our own problems. Even Jesus himself said, I can do nothing of myself. So we take these cares on us, and then the cares become a weight, and they become a heavy burden, and they affect us physically. But all we have to know is that cast your cares unto the Lord, because why? He cares for you. So let God care for you. Let him take your cares, and you be carefree. Say, I'm carefree. Oh, there's so many things to look at here. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Say, God's working on my ignorance. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. Isn't that awesome how God nourishes and brought up children? But what happens? They have rebelled against me. What do parents do to children? They give them instructions, right? They help train them in life. Right? They help them to know the difference between right and wrong. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's older, he'll not depart from it. So God raises up children. But how many know God knows? God's had rebellious children, just like some people have had rebellious children. He knows what it's like, the hurt and the pain that it causes. And, you know, to rebel means you're going against instructions. I don't have to follow your rules. Well, yeah, if you're under my house, you do. Okay? The ox knows its owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Wow. All because of ignorance. Well, I thought ignorance was just so innocent. No, it's not. You know, young people, when God says obey your parents in the Lord, he says it for a reason. God really is concerned about how you honor authority. Because if you're not going to honor your parents, God knows that you don't respect authority. Ooh, it's getting good in here. Go to chapter 5, verse 13. Why are we talking about this? God said, I don't want you to be ignorant. I'm knocking ignorant out of our lives. It needs to have its jaw broken. It needs to be inoperable in our lives. If there was ever an ounce of ignorance in us tonight, it's got to go in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because of what? Oh, my goodness. If knowing the truth sets you free, then not knowing the truth will keep you in bondage. They went into bondage because they did not know. Did you know that the devil is a deceiver? He is very well versed at lying. He can polish up a lie so good that it looks good, it sounds good, but it's a lie. And that the purpose of a lie is to bring you into bondage. It's to get you off the course that God has for you in your life. He lied to Eve. He said, you surely will not die. She bought the lie. God told Adam, you eat of this, you're going to die. The serpent said, you'll not die. Liar, liar, pants on fire. People are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished. And their multitude dried up with thirst. There's a lot of religious people like that don't know God. They dry up and they get thirsty because they don't know how good God is. You don't want to become a legalistic Christian because the Bible says the letter of the law kills, but the spirit of the law gives life. If you're just going to follow the letter, you're going to die. You got to follow the spirit behind the letter, amen? You got to read between the lines. You got to get the coded message. You know, oftentimes when Jesus preached, he preached in parables. And he would preach in parables to the crowds. And he would use natural things to explain spiritual principles, okay? But when he got done speaking, the disciples would get to him privately and they would say, what did you mean by that? And he would expound on the meaning. They would get understanding and they would get knowledge about the parables that he was talking about. Now the people who didn't seek God, they left scratching their heads because they didn't have a heart to seek God. See, those who have a heart to seek God are going to get his secrets. They're going to get his treasures. They're going to get inside information. Praise God that we can get inside information a good way. Not to commit a fraud, but to enhance your life. God wants you to have inside information to enhance your life so that you can build a living legacy on God's word. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Let's get some New Testament stuff in here. Matthew chapter 11. This is good. This is rich. Tonight you're getting some meat and potatoes. Go to verse 27, Matthew 11, 27. all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Jesus is talking. And no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And notice, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. How many know that Jesus is looking for people who he can reveal secrets of the Father to? He's looking for people who love him, who want to serve him, and he's looking for faithful people. He's looking for trustworthy people that he can show you secrets of the Father. Jesus knows all the secrets of the Father. He knows how to live in heaven, and he knows how to have heaven on earth. And if we listen to him, if we draw near to the Lord, he will reveal the secrets of the Father to us. Notice this now. Come unto me. If you want to get God's secrets, what do you have to do? You got to come to him. You've got to come. Well, why can't he come to me? He already did. He already came out from heaven, didn't he? Now we've got to come to him. You know, I think I heard this phrase when I was attending church in Illinois, and they said, stay by the spout where the glory comes out. You know, it's a lot better to get things from the source than from something that's not the source. Because if it's not the source, then it gets diluted from the source, doesn't it, a little bit? So he says, come unto me, all you that labor. How many laborers do we have in here? Well, you got to come to Jesus. What are you going to get when you come to him? And are heavy laden, and what's he going to give you? Rest. He says, take my yoke upon you, and what? Learn of me. You want to conquer ignorance? Learn of him. Say, Lord, when you wake up tomorrow, say, Lord, what do you want to teach me today? What do I need to know to help me in my life today? He knows where all the traps of the enemy are set. He knows how your day is going to go before we do. He has more information. He knows the end before the beginning. But we have to come to him. We have to lay our burdens, and we have to learn of him. What did he say about his teaching? He said, I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest to your souls. You know what? If you're having emotional problems, it's because you haven't come to Jesus. Rest for your soul. What's in your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. And how many know that sometimes in this world, our emotions can go crazy? But he said, I'll give you rest for your souls. This is real soul food. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Never does God teach his disciples to walk around being heavy. Now, there were times, there was one time when Jesus was heavy, and that was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was about to take on the sins of the world. And yes, he was heavy, and his sweat became drops of blood. But for the most part, in everyday activity, Jesus wasn't a heavy person. Jesus never said, oh, I'm sorry, woman with the issue of blood. I'm booked up with Jairus now. I can't come to you. My appointment book is full. You know? When Martha and Mary, you know, when Mary and Martha, they sent an email to Jesus, and they said, you know, can you come? Lazarus is not doing so well. You know, I'm sorry, but I'm kind of booked up. I really, you know, Jesus waited for 4 days. My point is, Jesus didn't go around with this heavy. Jesus never said, oh, I'm too busy. If we're too busy, then we're probably taking more stuff on us than is necessary. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He never said, I'm too busy. I'm so busy. You know, in today's world, it's very easy for the devil to distract us with busyness. Just because there's a lot of activity going on doesn't mean there's a whole lot of things being done. David said, one thing I'm going to focus on, and that's to dwell in the house of the Lord. One thing. Everybody say one thing. You mean the king of Israel was only going to focus on one thing? Listen, we've got to learn to walk lightly. Don't let the weight of the burdens, you're not supposed to carry the full weight. Not unless Jesus is leading and guiding you, he's sharing the load. And if you're casting your cares unto him, that means you don't have them. I mean, when you throw something out of your hand, you don't have it anymore, right? What are you carrying around, an invisible ball or something? And, you know, I thought you cast them unto the Lord. I did. And then I got it back. Go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. What are we doing? We're destroying your ignorance. Amen? God doesn't want us ignorant. If we're going to learn from these examples, we can't be ignorant. We got to be open. Amen? You're going to leave here much lighter than you came in tonight. You're going to leave here looser and lighter and free. God wants you free from anything that would restrict, hinder, bind, or prevent progress. Because he wants you to know how good he is. God wants you to know. He wants you to experience his goodness. He wants you to walk in his blessing. God is a good God. God loves you. He's got your best interest at heart. John chapter 4. Verse 11. Well, verse 10. This is Jesus talking to the woman at the well. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God. She didn't know the gift that was right there before her. There was the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. He asked her for water. He struck up a conversation with her. He was standing right there before her, and she didn't know who it was. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She didn't even know that she could ask for living water. She had a rough relationship life, didn't she? She was now living with the fourth or fifth man. So obviously she was having trouble in relationships. But now she was about to enter in the greatest relationship ever. And you know what? Even though she lacked knowledge, she wanted the knowledge. You can tell when people want to know or when people don't. You know, you're pouring your heart out to someone and they're reading the newspaper. Doesn't that want to just make you to take that paper and tear it to shreds? Listen to me when I'm talking to you. Oh, you know, I'm helping myself tonight too. Notice what the woman said. She's thinking naturally. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then do you have this living water? See, she was curious. She said, wow, living water, I could really use some living water because I've been drinking from a dead well. She sparked interest, or he sparked interest in her. She said, are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof of himself and his children and his cattle? Then Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Why? Jesus satisfies. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Because the well I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus said, go and call your husband. And then we know the story. Jesus revealed himself of who he was. I am the Messiah. He said, I am he that speaketh unto you. See, Jesus will reveal himself to those who want to know. Now this woman, she started off ignorant, but she left knowing. Amen? And that's the key. If you're ignorant in an area, ask, what are we supposed to do when we lack wisdom? Let him ask. When you don't know how to do something, ask. To all the men, say, I'm a good asker. Come on, man. Hey, listen, I'm a man. We don't ask for directions, amen? Come on, man. We got to put down some things, and we got to start asking. Whew, I like it when I help myself, too. This is great. So in order for us to benefit from the examples that we're going to look at, and, you know, I thought about this, and instead of just picking things at random, God already gave us a list. It's called the Hall of Faith. Amen? Amen? So next time you come, on next Wednesday, we're going to talk about knowledge, and then we're going to get into our first example. We're going to learn some lessons on how to give. From the first example in the list, Abel. Are you able? Are you able to come? So you know what? We are going to overcome our ignorance. Some of you don't want to try new things because you're ignorant of the benefits that it'll bring to you. Some are ignorant of God's ways of doing things, and so we're exercising a lot of toil. And our progress is so small when it could be so much more. For example, when the disciples encountered a storm, they were trying to row, and they got nowhere. But when Jesus got in the boat, all of a sudden they were at the shore. They didn't have to row to get there. All they had to do was let him get in the boat. Amen? So maybe God needs to accelerate some things tonight. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is a catalyst? He can cause a reaction in us that can make things easier. So we don't have to fear the unknown, because more than likely God will ask you to step out into the unknown at one point in your life or another. So you might as well overcome the unknown right now, because when you know God, the unknown doesn't matter. Because when you know God, the unknown becomes known as you trust God and walk with God. Amen? Amen? So if you're here tonight and you need prayer, and the words that I've given you tonight, they're touching your heart, they're working in you. Amen? Well, being prayed for just means that God is releasing his anointing on you. All right? It doesn't mean that you're a bad person or that you're a bad Christian or that you're failing. It just means that God is giving you supernatural help. So if you're here tonight and the words that I'm saying to you have struck a chord in your heart, then I want you to make your way up here, and I just want to pray for you, releasing God's power and his might, and just let that work take place in your life. Amen? So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for drawing us here tonight. Lord, and especially if anybody needs prayer, Lord, just draw them forward right now. Lord, give them the courage and the strength that they need, Lord, to receive what you have for them tonight in Jesus' name. And so if you're here, just make your way up. And doesn't matter what you need prayer for. Amen. God is an almighty God. He's got it all covered. Say, God's got it covered. He knows what you need before you even have it. And he's ready to meet the need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I give you thanks and praise that you're good and gracious to Miss Wanda in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you're meeting her needs. Lord, you're exceeding the need by your grace and your glory right now, Father. We just let your anointing just come upon her in the name of Jesus. A new and fresh anointing that he'll cause her to do great things in the name of Jesus. Lord, give her an anointing to overcome and to conquer. In the enemy's been defeated. Oh, we thank you, Lord, right now. Release that anointing and power in her life. In Jesus' name. Yes, strength is coming to you right now. He's working. He's working. He's working. Oh, Rabasanda la Baroka Sanda la Mama Mama. Yes. You know what? I just see an anointing on you like Joshua. Strength and courage is coming to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, and I give you thanks and praise, Father, for your refreshing right now, Lord. Your mighty work, your anointing, and your power is giving her what she needs in Jesus' name. Download, download the update in the name of Jesus. Your computer has recently been updated in the name of Jesus with a new and fresh anointing and invigoration of his strength and power into your life in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabakasanda, Rabakasanda. Just enjoy and walk in that anointing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, he is in hot pursuit of your will and your desire and your way, Father, in Jesus' name. And I speak peace to his mind and to his heart, Lord. May they be kept in Christ in the name of Jesus. Release the anointing that he needs, Father. Oh, that extra, oh, that power in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're building a legacy of faith. We're walking in a legacy of victory. We're preparing for the next generation. We're taking hold of what our family should have had, and we're rising up, and we're possessing it now in the name of Jesus. The enemy has been defeated. He has been defeated. He has been defeated. Go forth in victory and power in the name of Jesus. Be what God has called you to be. Do what he's told you to do in the name of Jesus. You can do it. That's why he told you. Hallelujah. We're building something great and glorious. And God is going to get the glory. He's going to get the praise. Because it's not us. It's him working through us. Whatever you can believe, you can achieve. Whatever God has spoken to you, you can do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I prayed for them during worship. Glory to God. Be lifted up. Be lifted up. Be strengthened in this place tonight. You're going to go on and do great exploits. Hallelujah. With a fresh anointing of God. He's given you grace deposits. He's investing in you tonight. Yeah, God looked upon you and he said, you are trustworthy. You are someone that I can trust, so I will invest in you. Not every disciple could go where Peter, James, and John went. They got to see Jesus be transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration. They got to go into Jairus' house and see his daughter raised, and they got to spend time with him praying in the garden. The other disciples weren't there. Why? Maybe they were more hungry. I don't know. But you know what? Take every limit off right now. Things that have limited you can no longer limit you. Why? Because you're going to get information on that thing. And you're going to bombard that limitation with the knowledge of God. And as you're pursuing the knowledge of God, God's going to show you things. He's going to give you insight. He's going to show you a way that you didn't even know existed on how to solve that problem, on how to overcome that limit, on how to break that chain. Amen? God knows how to get around things. He knows how to go through things. You know, you could be like Philip, who one minute he was here and another minute he was somewhere else because God transported him in the spirit. If it's in the Bible, I believe it. Amen? So have a blessed night. And if you know anybody that needs help in building a legacy, invite them for next week. God bless you.